Welcome to Offscreen Babble with Sade and Kyle, where we talk about TV shows and movies we've seen recently. Today is episode 46, Russian Doll, Lego Movie 2, Little Woods, and Pen 15.
And if you're a returning listener, please make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and also make sure to subscribe.
And make sure to check out our show notes where you can see what we talk about at what time so you can skip ahead and avoid spoilers.
Gotta get up, gotta get out, gotta get home before the morning comes. What if I'm late? Got a big day, gotta get home.
So our first topic today is Russian Doll. It's a TV show on Netflix. All 8 episodes are available now. I believe it premiered last week. And I really love the show. Kyle, you just recently watched it as well. It's really easy to get through as well because it is 30 minutes long. Let me read the synopsis real quick. The IMDb synopsis says a cynical young woman in New York keeps dying and returning to the party that's being thrown in her honor on the same evening. She tries to find a way out of this strange time loop. So, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
If you watch the trailer, it's very much like a Groundhog Day. She's reliving the same
thing. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that movie.
I haven't either.
And at this point, I'm sure it's worth watching, but there's been so many movies that have done the same thing that I don't know if I'm like missing the reference beyond the fact that it's starting over and over again or okay. Reliving the same thing. But yeah, so this stars Natasha Lyonne, Greta Lee, and Charlie Barnett. Basically, it stars Charlie Barnett and Natasha Lyonne. And I don't know. I'm so excited to talk about it, but then I'm also like, I feel like there's so much to say. Basically, it's kind of like a dark comedy. Would you describe it as a dark comedy?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Is it really a comedy?
Okay. So let's just go into the show. Basically, like the synopsis just read, she is finding that she's reliving the same day or the same moment over and over again, and she's dying each time in like different ways that are bad, because she's saying that she could feel the death. Like, remember the first time when she dies, she's like, I felt that, like I could feel myself dying.
Yeah.
So it's like very like dark, and then I think there's comedic elements there because she's really funny and funny things happen around her. So
I wouldn't describe it as a comedy, I don't think, but
I would say it's like a drama comedy. Yeah, I think it's a comedy. But anyway,
so.
I think when the show came out, it's only been out for like a week and a half now. It got compared to The Good Place. If you haven't seen The Good Place, I mean, the first season, basically someone finds out that they're in the good place, whatever that's supposed to mean, after they've died and circumstances happen where they have to kind of figure some stuff out. I don't want to spoil it in case someone hasn't seen
it.
And I would say if you've listened to our previous episodes, Kyle, you really enjoy The Good Place and you also find it funny. Maybe not the funniest thing, but you enjoy the humor on The Good Place, right?
Yeah.
And for me, I've been more interested in the story and like what things mean and what's going to happen with the plot. With Russian Doll, I really enjoyed the humor. While it's not the same in any way, like it's not like joke after joke after joke, but I enjoyed the humor when there was humor, and I also enjoyed where the story was going. So like, not to say this show's better or whatever, but like I could see partially why people are comparing it to The Good Place, but ultimately I think it's just an entirely different thing.
Yeah, I really don't see any reason to compare it to The Good Place. I think it's so completely different.
Yeah, once we get into spoilers, I'll maybe mention another reason why people compare it. But yeah, I don't know what else to really say about it before we get into spoilers, except I think Natasha Lyonne does a really good job as her character, Nadia.
Yeah.
And she is a person who you could tell that she's lived maybe like a more rough lifestyle. And she's still like, she's very cool. I don't really know how to describe that. like she seems like kind of very relaxed, but also maybe there's like demons there that she's not really addressing. And a lot of the humor from her, I think, comes from how she reacts to things, how blunt she is.
Mm-hmm. How very New York she is.
Yes. Yes. Basically how New York she is. And yeah, I think she does a great job. And I just was like so excited to watch the show. Like I mentioned before, if you sat down, it's only 4 hours really to watch it. So you could binge watch it in one day. And I was loving watching. I watched it in 2 days, but still, like, I loved watching it. And I was like, oh no, I'm almost done with it. What did you feel about it when you watched it? Because I felt like I was way more into the show than you were.
Yeah, I think you were. First of all, on the bingeability of it, I think that what we discovered when I was watching it is that, at least for me, it was way better to watch it back to back because, you know, small details are used throughout. So
that's
if you
true.
Lose
it is
any
referencing
of that context,
the previous episode. So unless you have a great memory, you might not remember exactly what happened.
Yeah. So I think it's way better to at least watch some of them back to back. There are a few where it changes drastically where you don't really need to do that, but quite a few you do have to watch back to back unless you remember every single thing.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, granted, I did watch it within 2 days, so I remembered everything and wasn't like, oh no, I'm not going to remember this.
But, and you have a better memory than I do.
True, yeah. But I think it's definitely made for, like, binge watching. Like, some shows are better just watching one episode at a time. This is definitely, like, an experience I think you watch, like, a good chunk of it at once.
Yeah, and it's not even because of, like, cliffhangers or anything. It's just that it's very much a continued full story.
Exactly, exactly.
That builds as
yeah.
well.
Let me see if there was something. Oh, there was one thing I wanted to mention. This is a all-female writing and directing team, which doesn't happen very often in, I mean, in anything, but we'll just talk about TV in this
sure.
case. And it was created by Natasha Lyonne, who also stars in it, Leslie Headland, and Amy Poehler. So basically, like, everyone involved in this show is a woman. That was, like, really exciting to read. I have a quote here. I'm going to include two links in our notes if anybody wants to read more about the show and specifically Natasha Lyonne's personal experience, because I kept hearing. So I don't know much about Natasha Lyonne. I know she's been in a lot of movies, but I personally haven't seen her in a lot of stuff. I'm assuming, Kyle, you saw her in like American Pie. Did you watch American Pie?
I guess.
I never saw American Pie, so I don't know that either. But.
Saw it a long time ago.
Okay. But yeah, so I'm not familiar with her her as an actress, but I was reading a lot of stuff like, oh, she's had like troubled times and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, what is that referencing? Well, she used to be, I think, addicted to different things, and she had to go to the hospital, and she almost died, and she's had like a very like kind of like hard life with substances. And so I was seeing that a lot of the show is actually supposed to be maybe symbolic of things that she's experienced. And so I saw a interview she did and I took the quote. So I'm just going to read her quote real quickly. This was based on my personal experiences, the rocky road I was living on, the early days of conceiving Russian Doll. I didn't even realize in any way supernatural. So I think this was the interviewer kind of asking her a question about like the loops and stuff. But she was basically saying they were just based on my personal experiences of nearly dying very often as a result of addiction, which is like, whoa, okay. Because she doesn't necessarily view them as like, oh, I'm starting over. She's like, this is just another day. It's continuing. I almost died and now I'm back to doing the same stuff. And I almost like that's at least how she first wanted the show to come across.
Interesting.
Which I think is very interesting. Obviously in the show, it is definitely
different,
like a loop, but if we're looking at it from a symbolic way, and that's where the show got me. Cause I was like, okay, what does this mean? What does this mean? And I think I started to go a little crazy.
And,
but yeah, we'll get into spoilers in just a second. But yeah, I think if you are looking for a new TV show, definitely give this a chance, especially since it's less than 30 minutes per episode. So like,
yeah, that's a very nice aspect of it.
Exactly. I think more shows should do that. And I think if you're thinking, oh, great, another show where they're looping, it's another Groundhog Day thing, like whatever. I never got tired of it. Like, I could see that being an idea of like, ugh, okay. But I think they did a very good job of using that for humor, like using it to be funny, but then also making it different enough that it didn't feel so repetitive.
Yes, I agree with that.
So I think other things can do that and it feels very repetitive and annoying, but they did a very good job of making it feel new and funny every time.
Yeah, like I'll say, thinking about Edge of Tomorrow, or Live, Die, Repeat.
Whatever the title is now.
That one, I love that movie. I really like it. I thought it was good. I will say that the repeating aspect did get kind of old and annoying for a little bit.
Yeah.
Whereas in this show, it didn't at all.
Yeah.
So I think they do a very good job of probably also constrained to the time of less than 30 minutes and stuff, that they do a good job not repeating and repeating the same exact thing and getting annoying at all.
And also, one thing I want to mention is the styling, the way she's styled. I know, Kyle, I'm sure you're like, and, but the way she's styled, I love it. I love what everything she's wearing. I love her hair. I think her hair is something everybody's talking about right now because
I like her hair.
Oh, okay, cool. You're saying that with such a straight face. Yes, I think I just like her whole look, her aesthetic. I'm thinking I'm going to dress up as her for Halloween. I know it's February, but I like to have my costumes down very early. But yeah, I just like her whole look. And so, yeah, that's obviously a superficial thing on top of it, but it's another thing I like about the show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, was there anything else you wanted to say before we get into spoilers? Besides, like, we recommend people watch it.
I thought it was good acting.
I'd
say that, I wasn't as into the show as you were.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I really liked it. I found it to, especially each episode to get, I mean, they get a little darker, but also I think it gets funnier while it goes deeper in. So I just enjoyed that growth in the show.
Yeah, it's interesting.
All right, so let's go into spoilers. All right, spoilers for the show. I mean, I don't think we should go like beat by beat, and I don't think we'll talk about it too long. It's just maybe things that we really liked about the show.
Okay.
So like I mentioned earlier, I kind of was going a little crazy and I was like, okay, but what does this mean? What does this mean?
Hard time just like kind of things that are somewhat complicated, just taking them as it is and being like, yeah, it's just a thing. You're like, but why?
I think specifically when it has to do with time or time travel or anything like that, immediately I feel like I am not able to understand it unless I really delve into it and like almost make a map, because I'm just like, wait, okay, what?
But that's also the thing that many movies and TV shows that do that kind of thing take liberties of that, of like, it's just a thing and it just kind of is.
Sure.
And you're like, no, but how exactly does it line up? And it's like,
yes,
the idea is it's beyond our comprehension.
Yeah.
But you're like, no.
Yeah, exactly. So I think with this one, at first I was like, okay, it's going to answer stuff. I'm totally fine. And then when we started to get to the end, I was like, uh-oh. Where are all the answers? Wait. So basically, like, we are introduced to her. Everything seems fine. And then she gets hit by a car. And her loop starts.
Yeah.
Or at least for us, it starts. And I'm like, okay, is she dead? And she's in this loop? Or is something else happening? And basically, obviously, we're in spoilers. If you watch the show, there is no exact answer to what she's experiencing. And when she meets Alan, he's kind of like, maybe we need to make up for our behavior. Maybe we weren't good people and we need to make up for that and whatever. So like, kind of like, we are dead and we're in between right now. And we're reliving these things so we can make them right and then go to wherever we're supposed to go. And yeah, basically the show ends with not giving you like a solid answer on that. And at first I was like, well, obviously season two is going to answer all these things. And then I read some more interviews with Natasha Lyonne and I kind of accepted like, oh no, it's just like what you were saying, Kyle. It just is what it is. Just let that kind of wash over you. Are they dead? Maybe, like, whatever. Let's just experience the show. And I am now okay with that. I'm now not going crazy. But before I was like, wait, what? Like, no, like,
Yeah, there are other things where I felt that way that you are, kind of like Inception.
Sure. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Well, oh, Inception, is he there or not?
Like, yeah, I definitely rewatched it so many times. I'm like, okay, this will be the time I'll be able to tell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you make maps and stuff, and I totally get it with that one.
Yeah.
Because it's complicated, but it's also trying to be very rooted in a thing that actually happens.
It's almost trying to make it seem like it's real. Like, yeah, it could happen, exactly. And you're like, okay, wait a minute, then how?
Yeah, whereas this one, I never got that urge. I was just more taking it in as in art and, you know, kind of just the story of it and getting enough of the detail and getting an idea. But, you know, I figured I was never going to, like, get extremely specific, and I didn't have that urge in this context.
Yeah, I mean, I especially started to go crazy when she meets Alan, who she basically meets Alan. They're in an elevator. The elevator's about to crash or whatever. And he basically is like, oh, I die all the time. And I was like, what? Okay, who's this guy? What's his whole thing? And especially because you experience his life, and it seems like he seems extremely anal. Very, yeah. Like, worried all the time about stuff. And overall, like, what did he do that was bad that would make him have to relive over and over again, you know? So I was just kind of curious, like, are there other people who are in a loop? And, like, I don't know. I started going insane.
Say your theory.
That he was in a loop?
No. That her mom?
Oh, okay. And then they reveal the mom, and the mom is breaking mirrors. And then when they get out of that loop, there's no more mirrors. And so I was like, oh, is the mom in a loop? And the daughter? Like, so I definitely.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
That was why there were no mirrors?
After she broke those mirrors in the flashback.
The mom?
Yeah. When they do another loop.
I thought she broke it or he did or something.
The mirror was gone. He did break a mirror in...
yeah, that's what I thought it
was. Yes, he did break a mirror in when he went to confront that professor, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I'll say some of my favorite parts. Her friend, who always is like, sweet birthday baby! Like, every time she comes out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
I just thought that was really funny, her excitement.
Yeah.
And there's one point when she's looped a couple times, Nadia, and she is kind of like, all right. And she's accepting that she's like, I'm just going to be at this party all the time, over and over again. And she's like trying to have fun, but obviously there's a deep sadness because she doesn't know what's happening. And she starts dancing. And there's something about her physical comedy when she's dancing that made me laugh like really hard.
Huh.
I can't really describe it beyond she just looks insane, and she's okay. Like, she's like kind of just dancing to herself, and she looks crazy. Another part I really liked was with Alan when they are trying to figure out how did he first die, like when this loop started. So Nadia goes with him, he sees his girlfriend, and Nadia's in the background, and the girlfriend is breaking up with him, and then Nadia's like, okay, whatever, and starts insulting her.
Yeah.
She's like, where did you get this art, Urban Outfitters? Like, just insulting her.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was funny because it was, like, something that Alan clearly needed to, like, stand up for himself. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, the rare time, because most of the time with Alan, he's pretty sad.
Yeah.
And so it was, like, one of the first moments where he smiles. And then when he leaves the house, he's like, yeah, I told... Like, he's just so pumped.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. I liked when Alan was happy, which was sadly not very often.
Yeah.
And then the character I thought was kind of depressing the most was the guy that Nadia dated, who clearly wanted to get back with her. He, like, broke up his marriage to date Nadia, and then, like...
Well, I think he was cheating on his wife with her, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he came to the birthday party, I guess, thinking somehow they were going to get back together.
Yep.
And it was just kind of like, bro, this is embarrassing, man. Like, like, obviously, there's probably a lot more going there, but he kind of bummed me out. And then the professor is such a dick. That guy... I hate that guy. So, and I mean, we're supposed to hate him, but it's just like, oh, you suck so hard. Like, he thinks he's the smartest person in the room. He's always talking. And like anytime he's talking, it's like only he has the right answer, you know, like that type of person. And it's just like, oh my God, like, why is anyone into you?
I know. That was my question.
I could see it being manipulative because it seems like, wow, he is so smart and he just knows all this stuff. That's attractive. But
is it, though? Do most women think that way?
I think if you did, well, obviously Beatrice, Alan's girlfriend, thought he
was attracted. Well, because she was a student. So I guess a lot of the people are students.
Exactly. I could see you being manipulated to think like, wow, he's so smart. Plus, he is giving the impression like he's not fucking every single person. Because Beatrice seemed upset when she found out he was with someone else.
Yeah.
So I guess if you could set something up and think like, oh, wow, he's my boyfriend, whatever. But he sucked. But in a good way, like they make sure that he sucks, you know? But yeah, no, I don't really know what else to say. I did read something where I'll include it in the notes. If you're like me and you were interested, like, what is this supposed to mean? And what does this symbolize? Someone said the glowing vaginal artwork is affixed to the portal through which Nadia is born or reborn into her birthday party. So, you know, so I was like, okay, what else does this article have? And it had so many other things. I was like, I can't mention everything because I'm going to sound insane, like talking about like, okay, and then this symbol, yes, there's a lot of symbolism. You could definitely take different meanings. Like I mentioned before, Natasha Lyonne has been very open about her experience in the past with drugs and alcohol and how that really like affected her, and I think she's been working on the show apparently for like 7 years. So, you know, this is a great way to reveal that story in a non-traditional way. Like most of the time you would see a drug story as being just like a typical, like somebody on down on their luck and they're abusing drugs or whatever. But this is a very interesting way because you almost don't realize maybe how much drugs and alcohol are impacting her until you hear it from other people. Like when her friend's like, oh, you're a cockroach. But she says it so like.
Yeah, cheerfully.
Yeah, cheerfully. She's like, wait, what? Why would you say this? Like, nothing will kill you. Which is obviously letting us know as the audience, like she has been doing stuff like this all the time.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of her personality or at least what people think of her when they see her.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Did you pick up on those things or are you just now thinking about what those moments meant, what they symbolized?
I think I picked up on symbolism of certain things, but I didn't really think so hard about the cockroach part.
That's, okay. Yeah. What do you think about the decaying fruit and flowers?
I mean, I guess they explain that, but...
Did they?
Sort of. I mean, she used that to talk about the fourth dimension and that time is moving linearly in some regard.
Because when you cut into the fruit, it was still fresh. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like the veneer, I don't know.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying, where it's just like, let it be. Like, okay, yes. I see like there is something that is still going, but it's actually fine. Mm-hmm. So, okay, yeah, there's something weird going on there.
Yeah.
And time is moving forward as well. Yeah. That's kind of what I take from it, and I don't try to go too crazy about it.
Yes, and I think I was like, okay, fruit decaying. Okay, all right. And then and then as the episodes were going, I was like, oh, we're not getting an answer to that. Okay. Yeah. Like and yeah, the moment when we get a flashback to her mom, what do you think her mom's deal was? We'll never know, but like
it, I mean, I assume like she just had some severe psychological like problems. Illness. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. And then also the thing that like kind of fucked me up right away was at the beginning, the very first episode, when Nadia looks over to Horse, the homeless man that she interacts with.
Yeah.
She's like, I think I know that guy. And then when I started thinking about it, I was like, wait a minute. In the first episode, she said she thinks she knows that guy even before she met him. Does that mean this isn't the first loop? And this is just like,
yeah,
we're just kind of jumping in. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I think anyone who's listening to this, if you are listening to this, what?
Did you get any answer from that online or anything?
I didn't see any answers to that.
I don't think that was a thing. I think that was just like randomly.
Sure.
But it could be a whole fourth dimension thing of like those loops are happening. It's not serial.
Yeah.
So she is knowing something from another loop or something. But I don't think so. I think it was just like maybe he looked familiar or something.
Yeah, maybe. And then when everyone started disappearing in her life, like when Sergeant Loop and fewer people were there, I tried to read up on that. I feel like maybe she talked about that. Let me see. I do have this quote. Let me read this one. Even if you don't die, your life will totally start falling away and disappearing until the fabric of your life is no longer recognizable as an actual human experience anymore. The biggest idea in the physical execution of it was this idea of disappearance of objects and people. You might be physically walking and talking, but are you really? That's a quote from Natasha Lyonne from her interview with Rolling Stone.
I don't get the end of that quote.
Well, you might be physically walking... Or you might be physically walking and talking, but are you really?
Yeah. What does that have to do with
it? I mean,
it?
In context of the interview, she was talking about a lot of her own personal experience.
Sure.
When, I guess, being under the influence. So maybe she's talking about, like, I'm physically walking and talking, but I'm so, like, high on everything. Am I really experiencing these things?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what that's supposed to mean.
I thought maybe it was the fact with the fruit going bad and all that,
mm-hmm.
and the people disappearing, I thought, wow, time is actually moving very quickly, and all of these people just happen to be dying of, like, normal, maybe natural causes or whatever.
Oh, wow. That, I did not think that, especially because they're all relatively young, and she keeps seeing the one girl, like, sweet birthday baby, and she's still the same age. So,
yeah,
like,
no, I figured that everybody's the same age in her world, but in the real world, like it's been, like, 60 years.
But then why was sweet birthday baby girl there?
She just happened to still be alive. That's what I thought.
Okay, I don't know if I...
I was like, she could die at any moment, but, you know, maybe not.
No, I didn't think that. I was like... I don't know exactly what I was thinking. Again, ultimately, I was like, don't worry about it, Sade. They'll answer it later. Like, I think that's what I was really thinking. But now that I think about it, I feel like that might be a symbolism or symbolic of, like, people coming and going when you don't have real connections with people, especially when you're under the influence of stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of just, like, making that up as I'm thinking about it. But
yeah.
Yeah, it could mean anything.
The thing that was interesting was, like, maybe the second to last loop or something like that, when before no one was aware of anything that was going on with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the last one or second to last one, then, like, the main friend of hers then started talking to her real, like, she did know what was going on. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
Yeah, the sweet birthday baby girl.
Yeah.
That sounds weird.
It sounds perfect to me. Go on.
Anyway, she says something like, oh, Maxine, like, everybody's gone, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, maybe you're holding on, or, you know, she says something like that.
Yes. Okay.
And then, like, she meets up with the daughter, and then she talks to her like she knows what's going on and
stuff.
Yeah,
that's true.
So I feel like now, looking back and thinking about the drug aspect and stuff, that maybe this has to do with the fact that if you look at it stepping back, I'm just coming up with this now, but
yeah,
if you look at it stepping back, all the people when they were with her and stuff, they were all enablers essentially. And
sure.
Or just like people just like, yeah, party, whatever. And then, like, slowly over time, at some point they start disappearing and stuff because, you know, they realize there's more going wrong, and maybe they try to help her and she doesn't listen.
Sure.
And they leave, and just like her court friend is there, and then maybe the turn is when they finally, like, tried to intervene and do an intervention or something, or something drastic to get her to change.
Yeah, that could be it. I think the thing that threw me off, though, was, like, I'm making all these connections with the drug use, but then the same thing was happening to Alan. Like, his fish disappeared and, like, his stuff disappeared. And I was kind of like, what does that mean? I mean, Alan's whole thing seemed to be depression, and he was suicidal.
Maybe it's trying to show a link between them.
Yeah.
Because literally they're linked.
Well, they're linked. And I mean, I think ultimately they're both severely depressed and are going at it in different ways, where Alan is, like, worried and contemplating killing himself. And Nadia is drowning everything in drugs and alcohol. So
yeah, actually, so they're both depressed and they're both handling it in different ways.
Yeah.
And then if they get together and talk to each other, then they're able to help each other.
Yes.
Not be as destructive.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. I feel like we're having such like a trippy conversation right now. Yeah. And hopefully if you watch this, you felt kind of the same way. Like, oh, okay, what does this mean? Or whatever.
Yeah, I'm liking it more now after now discussing it.
As we talk about it. Yeah. And I feel like you could definitely watch this show and be like, okay, I watched it, and never think about it ever again. But it's more fun when you actually start to analyze and be like, okay, well, what is this supposed to mean? And what does that mean?
Yeah, no, this is interesting.
And... sorry.
There's one thing, theory I had while watching it.
Okay.
Which I don't think it's right, but just I was thinking, oh, maybe they're in a coma.
Oh yeah, I remember you mentioned that. Okay.
Yeah. And I thought like, oh, they're in a coma. Time's passing because of all these things I was saying. Sure. With, like, the fruit and all this, and people are disappearing. Like they've been in a coma for a long time, and maybe they're going to wake up.
Hmm.
Now thinking about it, now I think that. They died the first time they were dead and they're in purgatory the whole time. And then they get together and then they're still dead. But
yeah. I think the ending. So at first when you mentioned the ending, which is basically like there are now four versions of these characters where they loop one more time and they seem happy because they seem to figure like we figured it out. Like we're not going to loop anymore. We're now back to normal. And then Alan goes to see Nadia and realizes that this is the Nadia that doesn't know him. That's just like whatever.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Nadia sees Alan and Alan's like, who are you? Like, I like doesn't know her. And then eventually they convince each other, like, trust me, if you die, like it's permanent, whatever. And then there's kind of this mirror image.
Well, they were not aware that they were going to loop or anything.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
So not that if you die, it's
permanent. Yes. Yeah. But they were trying to explain it to them. Yeah.
Sure.
And there's this mirror effect at the very end where there's kind of like a parade happening at night and the images merge. And when I was talking to you about it, you were like, well, maybe like they merge together. And I was like, Kyle, please. Well, apparently that is a theory people have. Like, it's kind of like these now the separate worlds kind of merged. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, didn't see that coming. But
yeah. I mean, the question is literally, well, as much as you can say literally merged or just merged in the, and they're parallel and the same. So I was saying like merge somehow together and the realities collapse on each other, not in a bad way, but together to merge. Whereas the other way that I think is more correct is that they happen to merge and do the same thing because they help each other and are able to get to the same place, and they still exist as separate parallel realities.
Yeah. I guess,
because then I was saying, like, if they actually merged, like, then all of a sudden both of them are going to have all the knowledge that they had, and like, were they just going to be bam, like, got my knowledge. Like, oh, I remember everything now. That would be weird. So,
yeah, I wonder. But the way it ends feels very uplifting. You feel, like, happy for them. You're like, okay. And I was reading, like, okay, so season two, like, obviously it's been out for a week.
I thought it was a limited series and it was not going to have a season two because I don't understand where that would go.
Apparently, I read one interview where Natasha Lyonne was like, you know, if there is another season, that'll be great. If there isn't, it's fine. And she was like, oh, I have ideas for a second season, but whatever. Then I read another interview with her and one of the creators. What is the other woman's name? Oh, Leslie Headland. And they basically were like, well, we sold the show as a 3-season show. And it all depends on if people like the first season and if Netflix renews it, definitely seems like people like the first season. But Netflix is been weird lately and has canceled random things, so who knows.
Are you talking about the Marvel stuff or other things?
There was another show they did called like Everything Sucks that got canceled after one season. Gypsy. There's been a lot of shows that have
that
only had one. I don't know, but at least I know Everything Sucks had a very strong fan base online, at least. Who knows if they actually watched it, but anyway, so that's Russian Doll.
I have one negative thing.
What?
The one time she had a software engineering meeting.
Oh, God. Is this... Okay, this
hey,
is...
Hey, can I say one negative thing?
Yes, this is Kyle's tech talk. It happens... The last time it happened,
rarely.
I think, was in Ralph Breaks the Internet. Maybe another time in between that, but...
Yeah, there was one tech talk time where I was wrong, so I will say that.
Oh, okay. Because
they changed it since I last used it. Anyway, no, this one, though, where she shows... like being in an engineering meeting and doing a code review, quote unquote, was just not how anybody ever does anything. Like, it's just very weird and okay. Not a way that would happen.
Okay. Let me just say this. Do you think that it was done for like storytelling reasons? Like, yes, it wasn't accurate to how tech stuff is done, but for the momentum of the story, that's just what they're doing?
No.
Okay. Anyway, that was Kyle's tech talk. Russian Doll.
To be a little more clear with that, I think that there are plenty of ways they could have done something more realistic and gotten the same effect. Plus, I don't really know that really did too much for the story anyway.
I mean, as a person who knows nothing about that, I was like, mm-hmm, all checks with me. And
but so, were you like, that was essential?
I mean, that moment, I was kind of like... what is that? And then when I think about how they were kind of like, oh, something's wrong with your code, it seemed sexist. And also the looks that they were giving her was kind of like, oh, great. Look at her just roll in. Like, they seemed irritated with her. And then she ends that moment with being like, oh, okay, I have to go. My drug dealer's here. And so yeah. It is kind of like, oh, maybe they have some reason why they don't like her, which is mainly because she's on drugs all the time. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
What?
I said, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But all right, let's end. Great show. Highly recommend it, even though Kyle had his one tech complaint.
Yeah.
And if you're watching it, please let us know what you think about it. And also, if you're planning on being Nadia for Halloween, like I am, because that would be great.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's go on to our next topic. So now we're talking about Lego Movie, the Lego Movie 2, the second part. This is a sequel to the Lego Movie that came out in 2014. And the IMDb synopsis is, it's been 5 years since everything was awesome, and the citizens are facing a huge new threat. The Lego Duplo invaders from outer space, wrecking everything faster than they can rebuild. This is directed by Mike Mitchell, who... has directed films like Sky High, Trolls, Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo, and Shrek Forever. I was just looking at what he was most known for. And the screenplay was written by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. They also wrote and directed the first Lego movie. We've talked about Lord and Miller, I feel like, a lot in the previous episodes because it seems like everything we watch... they have been part of. So in case you're not familiar, not familiar with them, Lord was one of the writers for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Lord and Miller both wrote and directed Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. They directed the 21 and 22 Jump Street and the premiere episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, where we're like, that's such a great premiere first episode. They directed it.
Yeah.
And also they were involved with Solo, but then got fired, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Lego Movie. This one is pretty much the same cast with a new addition. Chris Pratt, Elizabeth Banks, Will Arnett. The new person is Tiffany Haddish and Stephanie Beatriz.
What was Stephanie?
She was General Mayhem / Sweet Mayhem.
Ah.
Nick Offerman, Allison Brie, Charlie Day. There's more people too. It's a stacked cast as far as like celebrity voices. And so we saw the movie just yesterday, and we actually rewatched the first movie recently, maybe like a month ago, because you had been really wanting to rewatch it.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, it's a great movie, but you were like, we gotta rewatch it. And I was like, okay, yes.
It was so good.
Yes. And so when we rewatched it, I was like, yeah, this was really great. And like, the things that come to mind when I think about the movie, and I think what most people think about with the first Lego movie, is that, wow, I was not expecting the animation to be like this. In case you haven't seen it, when we first heard about the Lego movie, you just thought, okay, it's gonna be cartoon Legos, like whatever.
But are we spoiling the first one or no?
I don't really think you, I'm not going to go into detail to spoil it now.
Okay.
But the thing that's interesting with the animation in the first one is that they actually use the Legos, like what Legos would move like.
Yeah.
And that's what they use as far as the animation goes. I think what everybody loved the most was when there's water, the little tiny droplets, like round pieces from the Lego sets. And you're like, oh, this is really creative. There's tons of like, I remember there's one scene, it's in the background where these like, I think they're pigs chasing something and they fall off a cliff. And in the background, you could see that they turn into like sausage links when they land.
Yeah.
Instead of, yeah. And it's just like random things like that. Like, and the story is very sweet. It's, there's a reveal in the story that we can go more into detail in spoilers, where it took some turns where I was like, oh, I was not expecting this story to go there. I thought it was just going to be like a cartoon Lego movie. Like that's it. But it actually has like a more substance and is trying to have a message.
We're talking about the first one still.
Yes.
Yeah.
So with the second one.
Wait.
Oh,
first
sorry.
One. I just wanted to say real quick that the main thing of the first one to me was the nonstop hilarious jokes and like small things to pick up that were just really, really funny. Like the sausage link thing and like, you know, that happened right after something else and like nonstop, just hilarious, I thought. And very clever too, not just in the animation, but in the actors voicing them, and everything was really good. So when I think of it, I think of just the nonstop joke aspect.
That is another major element as to why it's a good experience watching it. It's because it's so funny, like period. It is really funny. The animation is very, unique. It wasn't what we were expecting. Mm-hmm. And then there is a reveal that happens that we also weren't expecting.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
So, yes. So going into the second movie, since then there's been, what was it? Lego Batman, Lego Ninjago, which we did not see. And now this one.
We did see Batman though.
Yes, we did. Which I thought was good.
I thought Lego Batman was good. He was also a great character in the first one.
Yes, I think
I still liked Lego Movie better, but I thought it was good.
Oh, as far as Batman?
Good. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Lego Movie had like way more layers to it than the Batman one. I really enjoyed the Lego movie and the Batman movie. Going into this one, I was kind of confused. It was interesting because I was listening to So I'm Watching This Show, which is another podcast, and they made a good point that I was kind of like, okay, thank you, where they were like, it felt like this sequel kind of came out of nowhere, meaning like, where was all the marketing? It kind of felt like the lead up to it wasn't really big enough, or they weren't really explaining what the second movie was going to be about. And that's kind of how I felt about this one, where I was like, okay, there's a sequel. What's the sequel about? And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a kids movie. It could be about nothing, you know, like kids are going to go see it. But as far as my interest goes, the first one was doing so much. So I'm expecting the second one, like, okay, what are you going to do with that? And I just felt like they never really, at least in the marketing, never really explained what the movie was going to be about. So I wasn't very excited for this. You, however, were extremely excited.
Yeah, I mean, basically just because of the fact that the first one was so great, I was like, I'm sure the second one will be at least quite good.
I feel like you were like, the second one's going to be just as good. You seemed to have extremely high expectations.
I mean, usually that doesn't present a problem to me when I have high expectations and it doesn't like meet those expectations or something. That doesn't really concern me. I thought the first one was great. Second one should be great too.
I went into it kind of like, I don't think this one's going to be as good as the first one, but I'm sure it'll be fine. And so ultimately my opinion of the movie was, I was right. I don't think it was as good as the first one, but it was fine.
Yeah, I think I was a little more negative, actually.
Which was crazy. And I also found some new information about you that I didn't realize.
Really? What was that?
Well, when we left the theater, you were like, it wasn't as funny as I was expecting, and I just fake laughed.
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel like
I found something new about me, too, when I said that.
that maybe you're losing your mind? What?
I don't know.
So I was like, okay.
Yeah, it was like, it wasn't joke after joke. Each of the jokes wasn't quite as funny. it didn't hit me right, and I said to you a line that you've said to me before,
mm-hmm.
where you say, I saw the joke, I knew it was there, but it wasn't funny, or
yeah,
I didn't laugh.
I feel that way a lot of times with some comedies where I'm like, the joke was there. Did it make me laugh? No.
Yeah.
But I guess I kind of disagree with you on this one, only because did I think this movie was as funny as the Lego movie? No. Was I laughing a lot in this movie? Not really. But I thought the jokes were fine. I didn't think it was bad. I was trying to pay attention also to our audience because there were definitely kids in the audience. And I was like, well, at the end of the day, maybe it's not hitting me, but maybe kids are like really enjoying this. And I did hear the kids laugh at certain parts, but they weren't really laughing throughout either, which I would expect there to be more laughter if it's a kids movie, you know? Like,
I think the pacing of the whole movie versus the first one was so different and didn't use the aspects of the first one that were great, or mm-hmm. even Lego Batman, because I think Lego Batman carried on in the tradition of the first one in the pacing of the jokes and different things.
Sure. I don't know. I think if you are like, should I see Lego Movie 2? I would say if you have kids, I'm sure they'll love it. Like, I'm sure it'll be fine. But if you're an adult who's like, I really liked Lego Movie, well, I like Lego Movie 2, I think you'll think it's totally fine, but not as good, which is hard because should we be comparing it to the first one or should we just be thinking about it alone? Like, what is this movie by itself? Like, stop trying to compare it because it's never going to live up to our expectations of the first one, because the first one we kind of didn't even know what was going to happen, right?
Yeah. I mean, I usually don't have a problem with like sequels not being as good as the first one. Like, for some reason you brought up The Hangover randomly.
Oh yeah. I remember the excitement people had about Hangover 2, and then it came out and it was like, no, it's just the same as the first one, except not as good.
So for me, you know, I loved The Hangover, the first one, and the second one, I was like, yeah, that was good. I was totally satisfied with it. Yes, I realized it was an exact copy of the first one, but it was still funny and it used the same things that were funny. Obviously, it wasn't as good, but it was still funny and I enjoyed it. Whereas The Hangover 3 tried to do something pretty different, and I think it wasn't good and it failed.
I mean, yeah, I guess for me, I'll just say, I agree with you on the pacing. It for me, I was sitting there bored. And
I wasn't bored at all in the Lego Movie 2 we're talking about now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't bored at all, but, you know, I just expected to be laughing more, and I wasn't. And that's when, like, the fake laughs came, where
you also were doing that thing where
I was looking over at you.
You were looking
a lot.
Over at me so much, I was like, oh, my God, do I need to get up and move to a different seat? Kyle is looking at me so much. Am I supposed to be laughing? Like,
so I fake laughed. Part of the fake laugh,
Kyle,
was,
this is so scary. Why were you?
Part of the fake laugh was that if you were going to laugh, I didn't want to not be laughing. So I wanted to encourage you to laugh if you were going to laugh.
But Kyle, you laughed so many times when I was just like dead quiet.
Yeah, so then I looked over and you weren't laughing. I was like, oh, okay. Never mind.
Kyle, this is so scary. What?
That's what it is.
All right. Because I was like, damn, he's really looking at me more than he's ever looked at me in life. Like,
so,
why is he looking at me so much?
The reason was because I wasn't finding it funny. And I was like, is it just me? Which is something you do to me. Right?
Sure.
Yes.
But I don't add a fake laugh to be like,
sure. Because you know I'll laugh regardless, but
yeah,
I don't think you will.
So. Yeah, no, I was just sitting there and just kind of like bored, and then every 2 seconds I'd see you look at me, and I'm like, what the
And I saw when I looked at you, you were like intently not looking at me, because you knew I was looking at you.
But
I was waiting for you to tell me to actually stop looking at you, but you didn't.
I was just like, okay, this movie isn't that long. Oh, the runtime is 1 hour and 46 minutes. What do you think about it being runtime appropriate?
I don't remember it feeling too long, really.
Yeah, it's not too long, but I will say I was a little bored. Again, I think it's just my interest. It just wasn't hitting me as much. One thing I did want to talk about, though, is that...
The story itself,
it's, you know, we end with his little sister... Or, okay, let's go into spoilers. Basically, before we go into spoilers, though, I would say if you're thinking, oh my God, Lego Movie was so great, I can't wait to see this one, I'd say, like, just wait to rent it. Or if you have kids, they'll like it. But it's just, it's not the same as the first one.
Yeah, there. I would say watch the first one again, because it's, you can watch that so many times and it's hilarious.
Yeah, the other element of this movie, also, this movie became more of a musical, which yeah. I was not expecting because the first one was not a musical. Mm-hmm. And I think the songs were okay, but the best song is the end credits song.
Oh my God, stay for the whole credits.
And that's with Lonely Island. And so, like, that was the best moment to me.
Yeah, it was so good.
And honestly, that was the part where I laughed the most.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, for you, sure. Me too. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't fake laughing at that point.
Okay,
no.
Okay. But one thing this movie brings up is, like, kind of like, we're going to get into it in spoilers, but it talks about, like, femininity and girly things that, it was kind of making me wonder, like, what are you trying to say? I'm being vague because I don't want to spoil anything, but I was interested, like, okay, where is this going? And I'll be more specific in a second, but yeah, I would say just rewatch the Lego Movie and then see this when it comes out, like, on rental.
Yeah. Thinking about the message though and stuff, if you have kids and mm-hmm. like a boy and a girl or something, or even just two siblings,
if you just have siblings, yeah.
I think it's worth them seeing at some point because I think it has a nice message that maybe could get through to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into spoilers so we can be more specific. All right. So what I was trying to talk about a second ago as far as, like, feminine stuff, the main thing is the movie, first one, Lego one, whatever, ends with the sister being allowed to also play with the Legos. And... we start with this movie 5 years later. Now she's still trying to play and, you know, she's bringing her own toys that are all, like, very female, or she's using stickers to capture people and, like, things like that. And I was kind of wondering, like, okay, is the feminine stuff supposed to be bad? But I guess in the world of this world, it's run by the older brother who, like, maybe is not, he doesn't really have a lot of female things in his toys. Like, even Wild Style is supposed to be, like, gritty and just, like, whatever. And we find out that she's been actually remodeled or to look more grungy than she actually is.
Yeah.
Right. But I think ultimately at the end, the movie is really trying to say, like, you know, I don't know if it's really trying to say, like, don't be afraid of that stuff. It's all great. I think it's really just trying to say, you should play with your sibling. And I feel like it could have said a little bit more, like, about why was he afraid of the girly stuff? And maybe the girly stuff is cool. I'm saying girly stuff in like, quotes. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, the glitter and all that stuff. Like, why was that such a bad thing to him? I guess I wish they would have delved into that a little bit more. But I think ultimately it ends with him realizing, like, oh, wow, look at how elaborate her stuff is. It's still cool, you know, even though her thing was like a giant cake and, like, all this yeah. stuff. But it's like, oh, that's cool. I did like that the girl, the way that she was trying to relate to him was, she's like, oh, okay, which one is the leader? And then Batman yeah. says himself, and she's like, okay, my character, the same toy that my brother gave me, is going to marry Batman. And now he'll play with me because they're married. And yeah. it's like, oh, that's cute. Like, she's like, that's how she thinks her brother will be able to relate to her.
Yeah.
It's also a nice reveal that, like, you think they're being brainwashed, but really they're like, no, it's just fun here.
Yeah. Like, that was good.
Like, no, we're not brainwashed. We just are having tons of fun. We're just, like, partying yeah. and stuff. And yeah, you are led to believe that Tiffany Haddish, her character, is bad, when really it also, I liked that she was the little girl playing with this toy would probably be very clumsy in how she reveals that she's not evil by saying like unnasty, whatever. It's like, that's actually making me think you are those things. But if the little girl is doing this, she's like, no, that's very convincing, right? Like,
yeah.
So I thought that was very cute. And the one thing that took me a while to get used to, I guess they were trying to do something new with the animation when it came to Tiffany Haddish's character, which is essentially morphing into different types of things. She's a horse. She's a heart. She's a woman with multiple limbs. She's, you know, like, it's all these different things. And at first I was like, ooh, I don't like how this looks. Like, this looks weird to me, especially because it's so different than any of the other Lego characters.
So it was weird and you didn't like it.
Yeah. What point are you trying to make?
That I usually do that.
Oh, okay.
But I actually thought it was cool.
Sorry, I literally was like, Kyle, I don't know what's happening. For a second I was like, but then after a while I was like, oh, I actually like this. This is an interesting way of making the point that it's Legos. Legos you build and turn into different things, and you shape them into other things. Like, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I didn't talk to you about that I kind of was like, this is a little weird, and I don't remember if it was in the first one, when they would have like a Lego piece and show the name of the Lego piece, like 100 whatever. Do you remember that?
When they're building.
Yeah, was that in the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was there throughout, because basically anybody who was a master builder oh, grab that one.
For some reason, I just didn't remember in the first one, and in this one I was like, I get it. Do you want me to buy Legos? Like, it just felt kind of like too much. I don't know.
That is not a marketing thing. Like,
I don't know.
1001735?
I was like, yes, okay, I'll buy some Legos. Got it.
Yeah, okay.
I'll say that what I enjoyed the most was Will Arnett. I thought I liked Batman the most this time. I thought he was fun. Like, every time he talked, I was laughing. And then the whole thing with Rex and Emmett.
Yeah.
So if you listen to our Russia doll conversation, you probably already know that I have a thing with time travel stuff.
Yeah.
Because immediately I'm like, wait. How does that work?
Oh, man.
When Rex was there, I could tell that it was voiced by Chris Pratt. And I was like, okay.
And I knew that going in because I saw an interview and he said that he voiced both of them.
Yeah, to me, I was just like, okay, he's also the voice of Rex. And they're making jokes like, oh, I'm whatever, but my baby fat is gone now or whatever, referencing how.
Yeah, and I train raptors now.
Exactly. So they're making a lot of jokes about Chris Pratt and his career and the acting roles he's taken recently, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. I didn't really get a lot of humor from that character, though. Like, I get what they were going for. It just, for me, didn't work. And I wonder if for kids, did it work, too? I don't know.
Yeah.
At the end, this is where I was like, okay, guys, no. When he reveals, he's like, I'm you in the future, except someone came for you. So now I'm disappearing.
That was the very end.
Yeah. And that's when I was like, a what? Because I literally was like, no.
Oh, my God.
Like, I thought, because he references, he's like, I'm you, but in the, and I thought he meant like, I'm a new model. I'm a new version of you or something. Okay. And I was like, okay. But then instead it was like, no, I'm straight up you in the future if no one had came for you underneath the dryer, except now someone did come for you. So now I'm disappearing. And that just threw me off. And I know kids watching this are probably just like, yeah, whatever. And just moved on. To me, I was like, I need a second to digest this. Like, what's going on? I know it's not a big deal, but it just threw me off personally. I'm sure other people, it probably didn't matter. Like, to you, you were fine with it.
Yeah, I was fine with it. If I try to think about it a second, it's a little confusing because, you kept asking me, like, he did say, like, is anybody there or is anybody else seeing him? And they said yes. And then I think at one point they say something about he's there, but he's not real or something, kind of alluding to the fact that, like, all of the other ones are things that the kid's playing with. but maybe he is not. He's like a figment of their world. Okay. But then we see the kid pick up the ship at some point.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. So we,
moral of the story is
let's not even worry about that. I'm just saying it as a as far as like if you want to know how I was feeling when that moment happened, it was pure confusion and and just like wait what like the entire time. But yeah, I thought it was fine. I don't really know if there's anything else I really want to talk about in spoilers beyond obviously I didn't mention Maya Rudolph was there. Yeah. Will Ferrell wasn't. He was just the voice and. I love Maya Rudolph, and I,
Will Ferrell was there in the beginning, right?
He wasn't physically there. He was just, I think it was a flashback to the first movie, but there was no new footage of Will Ferrell.
Okay.
And, yeah, I was like,
she was funny.
Yeah, she was funny, but she's only there for, like, half a second, so it's like, okay. But, you know, I don't want to make it seem like this is a bad movie because I think it's perfectly fine. It just doesn't live up to if you have expectations, it definitely is not going to live up to it.
Yeah.
And again, like I mentioned before, the end credits was the best part. I mean, this only solidified the fact that I love Lonely Island. Like I wasn't doubting that, but like, we're going to talk about something that they produced in a little bit later on in the show. And it's like, yeah, I think I just love everything Lonely Island does. And like the end credits, I was cracking up.
It's
and
funny like, because I guess this is spoilers for the end credits song,
but we're in spoilers.
Yeah, exactly. But the point of the song is that they're saying the credits are their favorite part.
Yeah. Or the best part.
And I'm like,
part,
literally that's what I think right now.
Yeah. And it was also cute. Cause at the end credits they had like, it appeared to be siblings or family members creating something with Legos and sharing it, and like so they're showing a picture of what they've created together.
Yeah, that was nice.
I thought that was very sweet, and so that's why part of me was like, oh, so was the message like get along with your siblings versus like don't be afraid like
of girly stuff.
Hey little boys, don't be afraid of girly things, like everything's cool, like whatever, like I thought that's where it was going, and it I don't really think it went there.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, at least I didn't feel that.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think if he had girly stuff too, though. I thought he did.
The only thing that he had
he
was
had
the
whole
kitty
thing and their whole world too.
Sure, that's true, but it almost seems like based off of what he was doing, and especially now that he's 5 years older, his interest was like apocalyptic, like stuff like that. You know,
I do like the joke reference to Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, we have custom vehicles. All our vehicles are custom. like say custom like a billion times.
Yeah, no, that was funny. Yeah, I thought it was great.
I didn't have to make myself laugh on that one.
Okay, all right. Again, this is just so revealing that I don't know. I'm concerned, but...
I think you're just saying revealing. I don't know what that's supposed to
It's revealing
reveal.
To maybe something's going on with you, hun, and I don't know what it is. And I'm worried. That's what it's revealing.
I'm all good.
Don't believe you, but okay. Yeah. That's Lego Movie 2. Let us know what you thought about it, and let's go on to our next topic. All right, so now we're in Let's Babble. We are going to talk about a movie first called Little Woods that we had the chance to see at the San Francisco Indie Fest. And we saw it just a few days ago. Technically, this movie does not come out in the U.S. until April 19th. So we're not going to do a full review today, but we'll release a full review later. But this film is directed by Nia DaCosta. The synopsis is a modern Western that tells... Actually, hold on. This isn't a synopsis. This is a summary, but I'll read it. A modern Western that tells the story of two sisters, Ollie and Deb, who are driven to work outside the law to better their lives. For years, Ollie has illicitly helped the struggling residents of her North Dakota oil boom town access Canadian health care and medication. When the authorities catch on, she plans to abandon her crusade, only to be dragged in even deeper after a desperate plea for help from her sister. So that is a summary. That's not a synopsis. What did you want to say?
Can you take out my laugh? Because it made no sense.
No.
Yes.
It's fine. line.
No, I thought it was funny that it was a Western. And I was like,
but no, I don't think anyone is laughing.
I thought you were reading something for a different movie, and that's why I left.
That's fine. Don't worry. Okay? Don't worry.
Okay. Why is it a Western?
You know,
what?
Let's just talk about the movie, and then we can talk about to see if it's really a Western. Again, this is a summary that's submitted, so it could be wrong.
Okay.
But yeah, so this film technically premiered last year in April at the Tribeca Film Festival, and it stars Tessa Thompson as Ollie and Lily James as Deb. And yeah, so we saw it, and I guess we're not going to go too much into detail, but I think we thought the movie was good. We had some issues with it, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't really strong issues. It may be just like storytelling things that we kind of wish were there. But
I think it was mostly just that it was kind of basic and we got it, and
yeah,
it wasn't that different or exciting enough to make it very good, but it was just like,
it definitely isn't a bad movie. And I've seen some reviews that seem like very glowing. And so part of me just felt like, it didn't connect with me as much, but I thought it was a good movie. I'm very interested what other people think about it when it comes out in April, when everyone is able to see it. But yeah, the acting, everyone did a great job. I thought Lily James did a great job. Tessa Thompson did a great job. I just kind of felt like the movie itself was, just like, okay. Yeah.
I think what it did well was the, editing and the acting. It reminds me a little bit of If Beale Street Could Talk, because of the emotional resonance and connection.
Okay. Sure.
So I think it was big on that, and that part of it was very good. Whereas If Beale Street Could Talk, I thought the story was also great,
whereas this
was just kind of more basic.
I think what it did very well, I mean, after the acting, it was good. I think the setting, like the atmosphere where they were, it was very good. Like, she's living in a house and it feels very lived in, which I think sometimes people don't do a good job of making that apparent. And like the car she drives, it speaks about herself and where she is as far as like finances. So like I felt like that was all very real and grounded. We don't really have much else to say about it. We'll release a full review in April when the movie comes out.
Yeah, just to make it so you guys aren't like,
yeah, I don't want to do a full review and then you're like, why would I can't see this movie. Like, you know, like, yeah, so we'll wait.
Reminds me of when a long time ago when we first saw The Interview, the Seth Rogen one.
Oh, yeah, we saw it maybe like 3 weeks or 4 weeks before it was supposed to come out.
I think it was much longer than that.
It was supposed to come out like in December, and I think we saw it in November. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it was forever.
Sure.
And then, we watched it, and I was like, oh, man, it's so funny. We can't talk about it with anybody. What are we doing?
But I was like, oh, no worries. It's coming out in a few weeks.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
That whole Sony thing happened.
And they were just like, oh, my God, are we going to be the only ones to ever see this?
Yeah. And then they eventually released it, I think, on Netflix. But it was just like, oh, my God, am I ever going to be able to talk to anybody about this movie?
Yeah,
like,
I know. Yeah. It was so crazy.
Yeah. All right, let's go on to our next thing, which is Pen 15. So Pen 15 was created by... I'm going to mispronounce names. Maya Erskine, Anna Conkel, and Sam Zibleman. Do you know how to pronounce it?
No, but
okay.
Zibleman.
Okay, yes.
Zibleman is something.
It was created by them,
and also it's Maya Erskine. There's a drummer named Peter Erskine.
Oh, Erskine. So, okay. Yeah. The IMDb synopsis.
Is she related to Peter Erskine?
I don't think so.
Is she the? Oh, she's not one of the actors, right?
She is one of the actors.
Is she the Asian one?
Yeah, her name's Maya.
So then they're not related.
Oh, okay.
Unless
I mean, they could
somebody
be related.
Was adopted, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
Oh, God. Okay. The IMDb synopsis, the comedic story of middle school seen through the eyes of the seventh grade girls, or of two seventh grade girls dealing with the awkwardness of being a teenager. So the thing that's funny about the show, one, it is co-produced by the guys of Lonely Island. So earlier I mentioned, I think I'm just solidifying the fact that I love Lonely Island, and yep, I do. So, they co-produced the show, and it's starring two out of the three creators, Maya and Anna. And the show, all 10 episodes are now available on Hulu, which I was surprised by, because normally Hulu will do like, oh, we'll make the first 3 episodes available and then we'll release it weekly. So I kind of thought, oh yeah, let's just watch the first 3 episodes that are available. And then I was like, what? All the episodes are available? Let's watch all of them now, because it was so funny. We've only watched, I think, the first 4 out of 10, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, it's so funny. The one angle that's hilarious is that it's being played by Maya and Anna, who I believe are in their early 30s, but they're playing seventh graders amongst other actors who are the appropriate age of a seventh grader.
Yeah. And so, Maya is 31.
Yes. And I don't know how old Anna is, but still, like, I think she's in her late 20s, early 30s. And they are, their wardrobe and makeup and everything is as if they were in seventh grade, but clearly they are grown people. So
yeah, when you first see them in the first episode, you didn't think about it.
Yes.
And then you see them like next to them and you're like, oh, that's wait,
when
what?
Yeah, when the first episode it's like just them talking like in separate rooms, like they're on the phone or something. And then once they go to school and you're like, oh, or like they're getting carpool and then like a 13-year-old boy goes and you're like, oh my God. You guys are so old. You're just so much older than these kids.
And Maya, I think because of her haircut too, she looks a little more childish.
Her haircut is very dramatic. Yeah. So yes, she looks like a child, but she's still grown. You still know she's a grown person. So yeah, I don't know, man. It was just hilarious. I think it's super funny. I highly recommend it, especially if you like, a lot of these new comedies that are coming out, like Big Mouth or Sex Education, which are very focused on like puberty and, you know, that awkward feeling. This show doesn't just talk about like puberty, but it's talking about the middle school experience, which would include that. Mm-hmm.
I think it's good that there are more things like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think because maybe people are real. And I personally really enjoyed that this is about two women or girls. They're women playing girls, because especially with the episode, there's an episode where one of the characters is starting to explore their body and realize that they're going through puberty and stuff. And I'm like, that's just like never talked about with girls. It's like, it seems like it's talked about with boys a lot, or at least in some things, especially like teenage boys. But with girls, it's just kind of like, they're just there and whatever, you know, like it's just like this is actually a realistic or kind of realistic depiction, and it's also very funny. So I love it. I want to watch the rest of the show, but I'm pretty positive like all the episodes. But yeah, if you're watching Pen 15, which looks like penis when you write it out, let us know what you think about it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, just to say real quick, I thought it was funny and I like it, but I'm definitely nowhere near your level of enthusiasm.
Really? What is going on with you? Why?
I don't know. I mean,
it's so funny.
I'm like, yeah, it's funny. It's good.
I loved it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Two things I'll mention that are just, I'm just going to mention them and we can move on.
Okay.
I watched Velvet Buzzsaw. Have you heard about this movie?
Nope.
I don't really have much to say about it. I'm not going to do a full review, but basically Jake Gyllenhaal's in it and he's great. I think the movie is not good, but like overall, I think Jake Gyllenhaal's performance was very good. It's a scary movie, so you would not watch it.
Okay.
But I don't really have anything else to say about that. And then Big Mouth, if you're a fan of Big Mouth, they have a Valentine's Day episode that just came out. And I really like that. It's longer. I think it's like 40 minutes. And I just like that Netflix is starting to do this stuff where they're doing specials, which I feel like is a very British thing. Like British shows will do like a Christmas special.
Or extremely old American. Right?
Sure. That's true. Yeah. And I like that they're doing that. Like the most recently they did one with Sabrina. They did a special like holiday episode and
nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it. Did a special. Was it an episode or a season?
I think it was a short season.
A short season. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, by the way, there's Nailed It. Like there's a Mexican Nailed It.
What? Really?
I kind of want to watch it.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix and it's a
Mexican,
different host.
What was that one? Beastmaster was better than the American one.
Yeah. No, this one, I mean, it's a different host. I don't know who he is, but I want to watch that too. But, okay. Okay,
and I'd then watch an episode.
Yeah. The last thing I have here is Hannah, which premiered on the day of the Super Bowl. So I guess that was like a week ago. And it's on Amazon Prime. It was only available for the first 24 hours of the Super Bowl, I guess, airing.
Did we watch that?
Yeah, we watched it. It's the one with the little girl.
Yeah.
Who is...
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So Hannah, you may be familiar with the 2011 film starring Saoirse Ronan. And I remember seeing that, but I don't remember the specifics of the movie. So I was kind of like, okay, let's see the show. I thought the first episode was, you know, like, fine. I was interested. I'm interested to see where it goes. The show is also starring the two lead stars from The Killing, Joel Kinnaman and Mirelle Enos. I'm mispronouncing her name, I'm sure. I liked seeing them together, just knowing that they were, like, partners in a other show, and now they're kind of enemies in this show. But yeah, I liked it. I'd like to see where it goes. Do you remember the episode, what you thought about it?
Yeah, I think it was interesting and just interested to see where it goes. It was a little confusing at the end what the ending was.
Yeah, so, exactly. Like, once it ended, yeah. I was like, well, yeah, I would like to see episode two. And I don't think the episodes air until March, so we still have a few more weeks until we get to see the rest of the season.
Okay.
But yeah, I thought it was good. I was a little irritated with the girl because she does, like, something where I'm like... What are you doing? You know, but obviously it has
to be. She's a much less irritating person than she could be, for sure.
Exactly. So I was just like, okay, well.
Yeah.
But it wasn't horrible. It was me personally just being irritated. But yeah, I'm curious where the show's going to go, and I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it when it's available.
And lastly, we rewatched Bourne Identity.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have that on the list, so I was like, what are you saying right now?
Just wanted to say, it's an awesome movie.
I mean, yeah, it's
even
still
watching
good.
It now again.
Yeah, it didn't change.
If you never saw it, watch it.
Yeah, it's still fun to watch. I think we watched it because we had just watched, like, two things that were like, okay. And now we want to have a guaranteed, like, yes, this is going to be fun. But yeah, all right, so let's end the show. Thank you so much for listening. Please make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and also subscribe. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Offscreen Babble. We're also on Letterboxd. Just search our name. And if you have any suggestions or feedback for us, email us at offscreenbabble@gmail.com. All right. Bye.
Bye.